this is the bit.
It's my turn.
What? No, it's my turn.
My turn. You did it last time.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Fine, you can do it.
This is the bit before the theme music. Let's start the theme music.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, just me, my trusty old Red Rider carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful person or people. I don't know how many there are listening. It could just be one this episode. The listening figures have plummeted down to two. I don't know what I said in the last episode. I don't know what I did. Whatever it was, I didn't mean to hurt you. You know I love you. Please come back to me. Now I've forgotten what I was doing. It's just me and you now. Just us two talking. Me telling you that you're beautiful. A person. You're both of those things. Oh, let's do the interactive bit. Are you ready? How are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are. It's just me and you now, yeah. Yep. No, I'll keep it going. Just for you. Just for you, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. Okay, fine then. No, that's fine. I understand. Yeah, you want to start seeing other podcasts. I expected that was going to happen eventually. Okay. No, I'm on my own. I'll still keep it going, just for my own sake. And scene. Well, that was depressing, wasn't it? Thanks for nothing. Right. I've got a packed show, probably. I don't know. I just sit here talk, and then at the end of it, I look back. Was it packed? Probably. So should we get straight into it? No? Oh, okay. What do you want to do? Stand around scratching yourself? You finished? Okay, right. Let's start off with this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. So, you know the deal. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, then I'm going to hum 5 songs, then I'm going to give you 10 answers and tell you what the 5 songs were, and then we're going to move on to the next segment and pretend it never happened. Are you ready? Good. Here we go. Question number 1. What kind of tree is traditionally used as a Christmas tree? I'll give you a little help here. It's quite broad, the answer they've given you. Yeah. Okay, question number 2. This is also about Christmas trees. The Christmas tree in London's Trafalgar Square is traditionally given to Britain by which country? Okay. Question number 3. In New York City, which famous building is transformed into a big ice skating rink during December? And in July, it's transformed into a pond. That's probably not true, but it was very funny. Okay, question number something. Which king was crowned on Christmas Day in 1066? Which one was crowned on Christmas Day in 1066? Okay, question number something. Father Christmas's suit was originally black. Is that true or is that false? Question number whatever this one is. In what year was the Queen's Christmas broadcast first televised? Question number, In the 2008 Christmas episode of The Big Bang Theory, who signed the napkin that Penny gifted to Sheldon? And question number whatever this one is. If Christmas is coming, which animal is getting fat? And I can tell you, it's this animal. Right here, baby. The amount of chocolate I get through. Question, Well, this is definitely 9 because the next one's number 10. Which Christmas carol was composed by James Pierpont? Well, I'll tell you this, it ain't a carol and it ain't necessarily a Christmas song. So pretty much which was composed by James Pierpont? And the last one is, which song was a Christmas UK number 1 in both 1975 and 1991? Do you want me to give you a clue? Okay, the clue is, it wasn't the Macarena. Okay, so it's any song other than the Macarena. That should help you. Right, now I'm going to hum some songs for you. Are you ready? That was number 1. Here comes number 2. That was easy. Is this one? Oh, this might be a bit tricky for my overseas listeners. Here it comes. Okay, question song number 4. And question number, sorry, song number 5. There we go, that was 10 questions, 10 answers, and now something a bit different. So, boys and girls, here come the answers. Now, a little bit of a treat for you. You heard him in the last episode, you're hearing him again. I've got Todd Killian in, and we're going to see how he got on. So you get to compete against Todd Killian, who claims to be a Christmas expert. So we're going to find out. So,
No pressure.
None. Right, question number 1, Todd. What type of tree, this is a very difficult one, type of tree is traditionally used as a Christmas tree?
I will go with the evergreen tree.
Well, it says a fir tree, but I'm going to let you have it because it's just so easy.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got one behind you. I think you know what Christmas, that's terrible. Okay, right, this one's a little bit trickier. The Christmas tree in London's Trafalgar Square is traditionally given to Britain by which country?
This is a wild guess, but I said Germany.
No, it's not. Quite the opposite, actually, because it was a thank you for us helping Norway in World War II. So, yeah, that's from Norway. Every year, the one in Trafalgar Square. Number 3, I'm sure you'll get this one. In New York City, which famous building is transformed into a big ice skating rink during December?
Rockefeller Center.
Indeed. Have you been to New York for Christmas, Todd?
I have not.
Have you not?
That is the top line of my bucket list, is to go to New York City for Christmas.
Do you know, I have. It was. I think it was like the second weekend in December, the year my wife and I got married. We went for a weekend and it was blinding. It really was. And we went to the Rockefeller Center and saw the tree. We went there for when they turned it on, which I'm glad we weren't, because I heard it's just like everyone's crammed in like sheep. But yeah, we had a blinding time. It was wonderful. And I think back on that a lot. Okay, sorry.
My plan is to ice skate under that thing. I do not know how to ice skate, so I may be face down on the ice, but I'll be under it on the ice.
Do you know what? We didn't. Right? What we did was we went to, there's two ice rinks in Central Park. And there's one, which is sort of like the really touristy end, that's sort of the Manhattan end. And there's one, the Harlem end. And we went down there because we didn't have to queue. And my wife could ice skate a bit and I couldn't at all. And I just pretty much pulled myself around. But she got bored before me and I carried on pulling myself around the edge of the rink. Yeah, got my money's worth there. Okay, so number of something. Which king was crowned on Christmas Day in 1066?
That's a complete wild guess. The only king that I know that's not, you know, alive during my lifetime, and that would be Henry VIII.
No, do you know what? 1066, it was the Battle of Hastings was 1066. And so it was William the Conqueror.
Okay.
Question number 6, is it? 5, 8, 6. Father Christmas's suit was originally black, true or false?
This is tricky. I've always seen him in green, but I could see where it was black. But I'm going to say false.
It is false. Well done. I know. I thought that was tricky as well. Yeah, but well done. Of course, you don't even call him Father Christmas anyway, do you? Or did you think of Father Christmas rather than Santa Claus when you thought of that?
Yes, I thought of Father Christmas.
Oh, you did? I talked about this in the episode a couple of episodes ago. Do you see him as something sort of different, Father Christmas and Santa Claus?
In my mind, I just kind of meld them together, even though that's probably not.
No, it is. In the UK, they're interchangeable. It really is the same thing. Yeah.
I do like the green suit. Usually when I say Father Christmas, it's followed by give me some money.
What is that? What's that from?
From the Kink song.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. How did I miss that? Yes. Do you know what? I didn't know that song until last year from the Merry Britsmas podcast. It's not popular in the UK.
Oh, really?
I don't know if I'd ever heard it here. Until he talked about it. Yeah. Okay. Question number something. In what year was the Queen's Christmas broadcast first televised? Another tricky one, buddy.
Yeah. Complete wild guess. I just put 1980.
Now, what? We've had television in the UK before then.
I know, but see, it seems like I remember there was like a big hubbub of not wanting to put it on TV and keeping it on radio.
Yeah, no, it was 1957. So you were close.
You know,
no, I wouldn't have got
like
that.
I remember that, but it could be about something completely different that there was like some hubbub about it going on TV.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would have said, actually. But yeah, 1957. Right, this is another tricky one, and I wouldn't have had a clue on this one. In the 2008 Christmas episode of The Big Bang Theory, who signed the napkin that Penny gifted Sheldon?
Well, I've never seen the full episode of this show, so I'm wild guess is Leonard.
Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah.
Yes, that's incredible. Is that like a thing? Is it like one of his idols?
Yeah, it's like one of his favorite people. And then his roommate's got the same name. So I figured there was probably some joke between that or something.
Yeah, well done. I'm impressed with that. Okay, question number something. If Christmas is coming, which animal is getting fat?
I'm going to say the goose.
Of course it is. Number nine, which Christmas carol was composed by James Pierpont?
This one's got to be an older one. I'm going to say O Holy Night.
No. It was Jingle Bells, and I can't believe I didn't know that one either.
That was my next guess, but I was thinking of a different name for some reason.
Okay, last one, tricky one. I would have got this, though, but that's because I'm in the UK. Which song was a Christmas UK number one in both 1975 and 1991?
My guess, and this is a complete stab in the dark, is going to be Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
No, I don't think he's ever number one in the UK.
I don't know if he is either.
It was. It's a UK number one. It was Freddie Mercury died in 1991.
Oh, whoa.
And it was Bohemian Rhapsody. Only song to... I think that was the first song ever to be number one twice by the same... No, it wasn't. It was the second to be number one twice by the same artist, I think. Well, it might have been the first. How many did you get there? Five. Shame on you, Todd. Right, let's go for these songs quickly then.
Terrible. Terrible.
Right, okay, first one. Okay. You tell me, what have you got for number one?
I got Sleigh Ride.
Yes. What have you got for number two?
12 Days of Christmas.
Of course it was. What have you got for number three?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a classic in the UK. It's called I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard. I bet anyone from the UK listening to that would have got it. But
I know that song.
Are you familiar?
Yes.
It was my humming in that case. Okay. What have you got for question number four?
Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
Yes, well done. If you want to hear a great version of It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, you've got to check out... Is it still on your YouTube channel, Todd?
I might have taken it down.
Aww.
When I relaunched YouTube, I think I kind of cleared the decks.
Oh, I see. You were giving it your best shot. You really were.
Maybe I need to do the...
I would like to have heard Dwayne sing it. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, maybe I need to re-release
that. Okay, last one. What was the fifth one?
I have We Three Kings.
No! What?
Or is it...
It was three, in it?
Yeah. Oh, the Three Ships.
Yes. Yes. I saw for you. You can't have that, though.
Yeah.
So you're getting four. No, that's nine out of 15.
Yeah.
I think you probably would have done better if this wasn't a UK-based quiz.
That's okay. I need to brush up on my UK holiday seasons.
Well, listen to Merry Britsmas. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much anyway. Listeners at home, I hope you beat Todd, because that was pretty pitiful. I'm joking. Thanks so much for getting involved, Todd.
No problem.
Great to have you on again. Cheers, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Let's not mess about. We'll get straight into it. Bob wants to talk to us about the loo. Take it away, Bob.
You know, I realized the other day that it was a woman who drove me to drink. And shame on me, I have never taken the opportunity to thank her. So I was thinking recently, in the last few episodes of Do You Hear What I Hear, that I haven't been comparing the same words with different meanings used in the States and in the UK. I have been focusing on terms that are just used in England. Things like dodgy, crisps, and togs. Well, today, I'm going to do the same, kind of. I own a lot of Christmas TV specials from the US, but some BBC ones as well, like Gavin and Stacey, which is good, Doctor Who, which is even better, and Dame Edna, which is really a relic of its time. But in these shows, you'll often hear the term loo. Now, to me, this is very similar to the US slang use of the word John. Both are proper names that are euphemisms used for the bathroom. it is a polite way to mention the subject in mixed company. However, John in the States is a bit out of vogue. I mean, some people may still use it here, but most will just say, "Hey, where's your bathroom?" We have become a more casual society, which you can see reflected in our work dress and our living arrangements. I would imagine the same may be true of loo in England. While it makes for good dialogue in a TV script because it sounds so chip chip cheerio British, but no one really says it in real life. But I'm not sure, and you would think that I would know someone from across the pond who I could ask. So I need to break the fourth wall here and reach out to Jack. Hey Jack, help me out. Is loo something you or your kids might say, or is it just something you'd hear spoken by your grandma? Oh, and can you hurry it up and answer quick? I have to go to the John. Cheers and happy Christmas.
This is a tricky one because I'm just trying to rack my brains if I ever say that. I need the loo. Do you need the loo? Yeah, do you know what? I think my wife might use it to the girls. She probably does say that to the girls. Have you been to the loo? Do you need to go to the loo? Yeah, we use it. I don't use it much because I'm filthy. I'm like, have you had a slash? Do you need a piss? Do you know what? Robin said that the other day. She used that word. I'd like to say I was mortified, but I wasn't. My wife was mortified. She's like, luckily it was in the house. It wasn't like when there was impolite company. But that's completely my fault because that's the way I talk. Because I'm uncouth. But yeah, no, it's widely used still. The loo, we say it. It's polite, I think. It's fairly polite. It's a mild term, you know. We don't say bathroom like they do in the States. We always say toilet or loo. I think loo's the politest way you can say it. And I think it's universal. I wouldn't say it's just where I live. I'd say it's all around the country. Yeah. So, if you want to use the loo, go right ahead. Thanks again for that one, Bob. Another blinder. He'll be back later on in the show. So, we're in October now, and I'm still getting my jokes from the Christmas Jokes for Grumpy Blokes book. And I think this one's quite a good one. So, I hope you're wearing a nappy, because you are going to pee yourself. Or, if you're concerned, why not go to the loo first, and then come and listen to this joke. Do you see what I did there? Right, here we go. It was Christmas, and the judge was in a merry mood as he asked the prisoner, "And what are you charged with?" "I was doing my Christmas shopping early," replied the defendant. "That's not an offence," said the judge. "How early were you doing this shopping?" "Before the store opened, Your Honour." Yeah, that was alright, wasn't it? It could have been worse. I liked it. Let's move on.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
This episode's version of A Christmas Carol is Teabag's Christmas Carol. So, Teabag was a British television series, and it was about this sort of witch who was called Teabag, and she had like a sidekick whose name was T-shirt, this little boy, and it ran from 1985 to 1992. Now, the first few seasons had Elizabeth Estenson. She played Teabag, and she was very famous for being one of the Liver Birds. If you're not familiar with the Liver Birds, it was a show that ran in the 60s and 70s, was it? Maybe the 70s, about some girls that lived in Liverpool. And then she went on to be in Emmerdale, which is a British soap opera, and she was in that for years. She's only just finished on the show, actually, last year. So the show pretty much was about, it would always be a little girl who'd be trying to find something, like either letters, or I think one of the series was about pearls, another one might have been numbers, and each episode she'd have to try and find another number, build something or put it in something so that she could defeat Teabag at the end of the series. And she'd end up in loads of different places, like, I don't know, maybe the Wild West or Victorian London. Actually, this episode she's in Victorian London, or ancient Egypt or ancient Rome, that sort of thing. She'd end up in all sorts of places, and each episode there'd be different actors playing different characters. Do you know what? I won't lie to you, I was quite a fan of the show. I liked it. Yeah, I didn't watch it a lot, but I did, you know, I remember being impressed that it ran so long, because, you know, when I first started watching it, I was still like 10 11, I suppose, and then it was still going when I was in my like mid to late teens, thinking, that's still going, is it? about six seasons in, the main actress playing Teabag changed. So her name, originally it was Tallulah Bag, I think her name was. And then later on, it was her sister Tabitha Bag. I can't go into it. You know, it's a kid's show. It's hard to explain. But this was the Christmas special, and it was between seasons 5 and 6, I believe. And the little girl in the series would change. Not every series. Sometimes she'd be in 1 or 2 series, and then she'd get a bit older, so they'd replace her with another younger girl. And the girl that was in this series 5 and 6 and this Christmas special was called Kelly Bright. Now, Kelly Bright went on to be in a TV show in the UK called The Upper Hand. And if you're from the UK, you might remember The Upper Hand. It was about a footballer that became like a housekeeper looking after this rich woman's 2 kids. And this rich woman, her mum, was quite a sexy cougar older lady type. And if that's starting to ring bells, well, it should do, because it was the British version of Who's the Boss? Yeah. Didn't know that, did you? If you were in the States, that we had our own version of Who's the Boss. And yeah, I'm not going to go into The Upper Hand. I still like watching it. The woman who played the cougar mother-in-law was Honor Blackman, who was in one of the Bond films, Goldfinger, I think it was, and she played Pussy Galore. Yeah, she was quite the fox. But I tell you what, I really fancied the mother in that series. Not that you care. So anyway, Kelly Bright, she was in that. And at the moment, she's in EastEnders, which is probably our most popular soap opera in the UK. But before she was in EastEnders, she was in the Ali G movie, if you're familiar with Ali G, and she played Majuli. Yeah, I'm not going to go into it. I think we've covered that enough. That's Kelly Bright. So she was a really young girl in this series. And this is the story. So she's asleep in bed. I'm going to just run through it, and you're going to sit there thinking, what? This is quite surreal. And I won't lie to you, kids. It was a surreal show. Didn't make a lot of sense. So she's asleep in bed, right? Oh, sorry, her name's Sally. That's the character. Sally's asleep in bed, right? Teabag is like, oh. Actually, this is possibly the only funny line in the whole episode. Teabag is like, got some, I don't know, somehow she can see that Sally's sound asleep, all happy, excited that it's going to be Christmas tomorrow. I forget, what she's looking in some mirror or something because she can see Sally. And a T-shirt is saying like, oh, look how Christmassy it looks there. Like, you know, we haven't got any decorations there.
She's got all decorations and cards and stuff. And what have we got? Nothing.
What a shame.
What?
Why should one child have a lovely, happy Christmas while another child has a downright miserable time?
Are you serious?
Indubitably. All children should have a downright miserable time, especially her.
Which, you know, it was something. And actually, can I just stop at the moment? I just want to say, right, when I was a kid, I used to watch this. And I was very young, and I used to always fancy the little girl, because I was a little boy at the time. And I'd think, oh, she's a bit... Now, looking back, that Teabag was a bit of all right. I guess she was in her sort of late 30s when she was playing Teabag. She was a good-looking woman. There's a few bits when I'm watching it thinking, God, yeah, I'm surprised I didn't fancy her back then. Anyway, I fancy her now. But now, she's like, what, probably 70-odd or something? I don't know. Right. Can we stop talking about who I fancy? Sally's asleep. Teabag sees this. She's like, oh, she's all excited about Christmas. I don't want her to have a nice Christmas. And she sort of waves a magic wand and transports Sally to Victorian England, right? And she's all dressed in rags. And she's like, oh, well, this is crap. And so she's in Victorian England and she's all cold. And Teabag turns up. She's like, oh, Teabag, I might have known this was you're doing. And she's like, yeah, I did. You're going to be in the cold. So Teabag just walks off and she decides she's going to go and torment some other people in Victorian England. So Sally just curls up and is sitting on this doorstep. Then we cut to a bloke called Giles Pickens. I think you know what they're going for there. And he's sitting there trying to do some writing. And who should turn up but his landlady. And his landlady is a delightful lady. Her name's Emily Scrumptious. And she comes in to see Giles Pickens, who's one of her tenants, living in like a house that she rents to him. And she gives him this big Christmas hamper. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I owe you the rent. She's like, don't worry about the rent. I'm sure one day you'll be a fantastic writer. You can pay me then. So she leaves this big hamper with him and she goes home. Who should she find on her doorstep? Sally, sitting there freezing cold. She's like, oh, you poor little girl, come on in. Teabag comes back, sees that Sally is going into this lady's house. She's like, oh no, she's going to have a nice Christmas after all. I can't have this. So she comes up with an idea that they're going to... She's like looking in the window and she sees that like Emily Scrumptious has like walked off into another room. She's like, right, we're going to get Sally to open the door and we'll grab her. So Teabag and her sidekick, T-shirt. Actually, just quickly, we'll just talk about T-shirt, right? He was played by a chap called John Hassler, and he started playing T-shirt when he was just a little boy. But then, like, obviously, people grow, that happens. And by, like, the end, when he's still playing the character, like, 10 years later, he's, like, 18 years old. He's, like, a grown boy, or grown man, I suppose. And he was, like, towering over Teabag, the second actress to play her. Yeah, but he's still kicking around today. And doesn't do a lot of acting, does bits and bobs here and there. Looks pretty much the same as when he did when he was a little boy. Yeah. Anyway, so T-Bag's like, right, what we're going to do is we'll sing some Christmas carols on the doorstep. Sally's going to answer the door. So they're singing their Christmas carols. Sally opens the door. T-Bag grabs her wrist and goes, ah, you're coming with me. And Sally's like, oh, would you like a mince pie? And she gives T-Bag a mince pie. T-Bag's like, oh, this is delicious. Let's go with Sally. Sally goes back in, slams the door. As she slams the door, a lot of snow falls down and lands on T-Bag and T-shirt. So then T-Bag's like, right, we need a better idea. What we'll do is she gets this big present, like a great big huge box, and she gets T-shirt to go inside it. She transforms him into this costume so he looks like he's the Ghost of Christmas. And he makes a joke about being the Ghost of Christmas present because he's in this big box. But he looks like the Ghost of Christmas Past. Anyway, they put the lid on, and while this is going on, Giles Pickens has just turned up, and he's seen what's going on, right? So they open the door and take the present in, and Giles Pickens comes in, and he's like, oh, you don't want to open that? I've seen what's going on. So they open the door, and one, two, three, they throw this big box out into the street, and it hits Teabag. She falls against this wall, and a load of snow falls down and lands on her head again. So she's like, right, we need to get this Giles Pickens out of the way because he's foiled our last plan. So she gives T-Bag, this is so convoluted, isn't it? Are you keeping up with what's going on? Are you even listening? I'll keep going. So she gives T-Bag, at least you don't have to watch it. Do you know what I mean? If I tell you what happens, you don't have to watch it and you'll be glad you didn't. She gives T-Shirt this Christmas pudding, but really it's a time bomb. She goes, right, drop that off at Giles Pickens' place. So T-Shirt puts this Christmas pudding in the hamper that was Giles Pickens's hamper, right? The one that he was given by Emily Scrumptious. And then, while that's going on, T-Bag goes and transforms Emily Scrumptious into a Scrooge type. So then, like, to cut a long story short, because it does seem a bit long, doesn't it? Emily Scrumptious starts being a real nasty git to Sally, kicks her out in the cold, probably, I can't remember. And then she goes to see Giles Pickens. She's like, you owe me loads of rent, you old git. And then she takes away his hamper and she steals it back off him. So Emily's got this hamper, right, back at her place. And so T-Bag nicks that. After she's transformed Emily into a right old Scrooge, she nicks this hamper and she goes back to her, like, wintry lair. And then she opens the hamper and the Christmas pudding that T-Shirt had put in there explodes. That somehow cancels all her spells that she's cast, and Emily Scrumptious starts being delightful again, and she invites everyone in to have a wonderful Christmas together, and that's what happens. Is that the end? Pretty much, yeah. And then it cuts to Sally being back asleep, and what was that? I watched it about 2.5 times, and it was naff, really. It's not a version of A Christmas Carol. Actually, I'll take one thing from it, right, was the fact that I really did quite fancy T-Bag. But back when I was a kid, I had no interest in the woman. Now, probably older than she was. Well, yeah, I'm older now than she was then. So yeah, she's like a younger woman to me. But why am I talking about that? Let's cut to the chase. This was a Christmas special that was broadcast Boxing Day 1989, and it was not very good. And I sat through it, so you don't have to. Does that make me a great guy? Yes, yes it does. I'm just glad it's over. Can we move on? This is the triumphant return of Wonderful Christmas Time, our fantastic new segment from Bob Baker. Now this one, we've got quite a lot of input from our listeners, so here it comes.
Wow, we have had such a great response to Wonderful Christmas Time. Jack and I are so excited for all of this new input. Please keep those replies coming. We hope you can gain some great ideas from this segment and find some new fun ways to raise your Christmas spirit. Like this one from self-appointed mom of the podcast, Mary Pulte. She lives in the Chicago suburbs, like me, and she recommends visiting the Chris Kindle Market, which comes to the city every year to kick off the Christmas season. The Chris Kindle Market is inspired by those world-famous German Christmas markets, and it has proven so popular that there are now 3 Chicago locations. There's one downtown, there's one at Wrigley Field where the Cubs play, and there's another in Aurora, Illinois, which is home of Wayne and Garth. The Chris Kindle Market is a free outdoor market that not only is a unique shopping event, but it is a cultural experience as well. The market features international and local artisans and lots of handcrafted items, along with food, drink, and festive music. And all of this is displayed in heated wooden stalls that create a cozy atmosphere. What is surprising about these old world festivals is how popular they are in the States, especially in areas where there is a strong German population. You can find these street fairs on both coasts in the states like Florida, California, Georgia, and Washington. They are all over the country, and most offer imported German gifts and arts and crafts. They have beer steins, cuckoo clocks, nutcrackers, and sparkling glass-blown ornaments. In addition, along with the decorated booths, you can also enjoy fresh pretzels, bratwurst, cabbage rolls, and pastries. The Chris Kindle Market provides an opportunity to gather with your friends and your family and to celebrate the holiday season in a traditional beer garden where you can enjoy a cup of Glühwein, a hot mulled wine. You can also find excellent images and displays of Krampus, that devilish companion of St. Nicholas who originated in Germany, and he punishes misbehaving children at Christmas time. Now, not to be left out, for our Aussie listeners, Katie Gibson has provided us some outstanding suggestions for a warm weather Christmas. We're going to highlight a number of these over the next few months, but her first event is a beautiful concept that is one of Australia's most beloved Christmas traditions. Plus, it is perfect for enjoying the holidays outdoors. Although first introduced in Melbourne in 1937, you can now find this festive activity all over the world. And I am talking about caroling by candlelight. Now, the original aim for this was to bring individuals together to relieve the loneliness and isolation that they may be feeling during the holidays. The concept, though, has grown in popularity. In the original Melbourne event, it is now broadcast on television and includes musical stars who sing their favorite carols. Most towns in Australia will host their own caroling by candlelight at the local park. And these are family-friendly outings that feature activities, entertainment, and a great selection of food. And you can imagine the crowd of all ages, children, mothers, fathers, and grandparents, all celebrating together and singing Christmas carols. Now think of the emotional power of all the glowing candlelights and how joyous and comforting they can be against the clear night sky with the abundance of stars. If you are celebrating in the UK, you can find a competitive holiday landscape with different areas trying to compete for the best winter wonderland. These are themed events that will operate from November through January, and they're located in scenic areas, like the grounds of a castle. They offer holiday attractions to entertain the entire family. Most will be decorated with Christmas trees, snow-topped cabins, or a grotto to visit Father Christmas and to meet his live reindeer. Some locations will also have music, an ice rink, carnival rides, and even a Christmas market with shopping stalls. These festive places will offer activities to try to create a unique regional experience. For example, in Cardiff, they operate a 90-meter tower to view the city. In Nottingham, they have a 30-foot toboggan ride. And Thames transforms its beach into an alpine scene with ski lifts and gondolas. Each location will also provide some holiday food items. You can find everything from fondue and schnitzel to Yorkshire pudding wraps and toasted marshmallows. And not to be overlooked, these wonderlands will also offer respite for parents. They have bars where you can go and indulge and warm up with some adult libations, such as a hot toddy or mulled wine. So, the word is out about the town. We want to know what's going down. So please reply. We want to hear how you'll enjoy Christmas this year.
Thank you so much. If you're one of the people that sent in something for that segment, we really appreciate it. Since all this was sent in, it's gone a bit quiet. So I need you to sort yourselves out, and I need you to send me an email to tell me what plans you've got for this Christmas. So get in front of your computer right now. Not right now. As soon as the episode is finished, get in front of your computer, start typing out an email and tell us what you've got planned. It only has to be a few lines, just saying, this year I am mainly sitting on my backside eating chocolate. Okay, that could be it. I'd prefer it if it wasn't, because let's face it, I'm going to be doing that. I could have told you that. But something, whatever you've got planned, tell us, tell the world. Yours sincerely, me. Now, let's move on for this. So a couple of episodes ago, you'll remember I talked about St. Nicholas and the real life St. Nicholas. And I told you one of the legends associated with him, the one about the man who had three daughters who were all going to end up as prostitutes if St. Nicholas hadn't given them bags of gold. When I was doing that segment, I said there were loads of other different legends of St. Nicholas and I'd read them out in coming episodes. Well, I'm not going to, because our American correspondent, self-appointed, Scott Newman from the Tinsel Tunes podcast, he has offered to read out the stories for us. So, this is a very famous one. And when I say famous, I'd never heard of it, so it's not famous. This is a famous one, but there's two different versions of it. So this is the first one. Here it comes.
When crops failed, famine descended throughout Lycia. The people of Myra were hungry. Bishop Nicholas was very concerned about the people's welfare. In far-off Italy, a merchant loaded his ship with grain to sell in Egypt. That night, Bishop Nicholas appeared to the merchant in a dream. He pledged payment of 3 gold coins and commanded the merchant to come to Myra and sell the grain. The merchant was amazed and frightened when he awoke to find 3 gold coins miraculously in his hand. Since the merchant was afraid to ignore such a command, he sailed to Myra and sold all his grain. The people had food and would be able to survive the famine. Still amazed, the merchant told everyone about his dream and the gold. The citizens listened to his story and were amazed. They thanked God for their good fortune and for their extraordinary bishop, Nicholas.
So that was the first version of the story, and this is the second one. Here it comes.
During a famine in Myra, Bishop Nicholas worked desperately hard to find grain to feed the people. He learned ships bound for Alexandria with cargoes of wheat had anchored in Andriaki, the harbor for Myra. The good bishop asked the captain to sell some of the grain from each ship to relieve the people's suffering. The captain said he could not because the cargo was meted and measured. He must deliver every bit and would have to answer for any shortage. Nicholas assured the captain there would be no problems when the grain was delivered. Finally, reluctantly, the captain agreed to take 100 bushels of grain from each ship. The grain was unloaded, and the ships continued on their way. When they arrived and the grain was unloaded, it weighed exactly the same as when it was put on board. As the story was told, all the emperor's ministers worshipped and praised God with thanksgiving for God's faithful servant, Nicholas. Back in Myra, St. Nicholas distributed the grain to everyone in Lycia, and no one was hungry. The grain lasted for 2 years until the famine ended. There was even enough grain to provide seed for a good harvest.
Yeah, I think we all know what happened there, don't we? It was like, oh, just give us a load of grain, right? And then just fill the bags up with sand. No one will notice. It's just mix it in with the grain. It'll be fine. Turns out it was fine. Bags of grain and sand weigh the same amount as bags of grain. Job done, innit? So a massive thank you to Scott there. He did a blinding job. If you want to hear more of his dulcet tones, check out Tinsel Tunes podcast. It's easy to find. Just Google Tinsel Tunes podcast. It pops up. And he'll be back again soon with another story of St. Nicholas. But now it's time for this. Well, boys and girls, I've got something a little bit different coming up now. I've got an interview with a gentleman who is a real-life Santa Claus. We had a great chat. He's based in Canada. His name's Kev. And this is the interview we had. Here it comes. Okay, boys and girls, I've got a real treat for you now. We're actually speaking to Santa Claus. I kid you not. There he is. This is, yeah, so is it Santa Claus? Is it Santa Kev? What am I calling you?
Well, I go by Santa Kev, actually.
Santa Kev. Okay, this is Santa Kev, boys and girls. And he's got an incredible story about how he became Santa Claus. So, Kev, I'm just going to let you tell your story. Tell everyone exactly what happened.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jack. Now, sometimes really lucky daddies get chosen to be helpful and get to help out Santa. And I got to be one of those daddies. You see, years ago when I was a young man, I had an accident. I went over the handlebars of a bicycle and I banged my head really hard. I actually landed in a creek and I was fine. And I got up and went to step backwards and I tripped on my bike and broke the back of my skull. So I lost 7 years of my memory. And I went from 23 back to being 14 again. Or sorry, 21 back to being 14 again. And I had to relearn everything. When I woke up in the hospital, it was like time travel. I jumped ahead 7 years. In my mind, I was 14 years old, but everyone around me was 21. My friends graduated high school. My parents had gotten divorced. Our store was gone. My grandparents had passed. So I had to relearn everything. But as a result, it actually reset me. You see, when I was a young man, I used to be a bit of a scallywag, I guess you'd say. I'd get into a bit of trouble, and I wasn't the greatest of people, I guess you'd say. But this blow to the head actually changed my whole personality and turned me into a lot nicer guy. Well, as time went on, I actually found out that I was actually living with a girl that I graduated from high school with, who in my brain I'd never met. So I had to relearn all of that and the whole bit, and eventually, actually, we stayed together and we got married. We stayed together until I was 27. Now, at 27, I was still 7 years behind her. So actually, I was only like 20 years old in my head, and things just weren't working out. So I went and had to reinvent my life. So we went our separate ways. I moved to another city in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, and I took a job working as a bartender in a comedy club. And I was watching people get up and do it, and I thought, holy cow, I'll bet I could do this. And I got up and did an amateur night. It was a huge success. And 3 months later, I was in Vancouver with a backpack on my back with $400 and no plan. Well, I continued traveling all around Canada and having all these adventures and really neat, fun stuff for a few years. And then while passing back through Kingston, I met my wife, Nikki. Now, we've been together 20 years now, and she had a little boy. So I ended up settling down and I became a cartoonist, which is how I actually worked on my fine motor skills when I had my brain injury, because I was in a wheelchair for a year as well. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Well, now years had passed and I'd been doing cartooning and stuff, and I'd take the odd job doing stand-up or performing. And I was the lead scare actor at a place called Fort Fright at Fort Henry in Kingston, Ontario. So I was putting my biggest scares in the whole bit. Everything was great. It was a lot of fun. And at the end of it, they said, hey, would you be interested in being our Santa? I thought about it, and I'm a pretty portly fella, and I got a bald head, and I had a little bit of a chin whisker, and I said, sure, but I don't want to wear one of those awful beards or anything. I'll grow mine out, and we'll see how it looks. Well, I grew out my beard, and I bleached it, and by golly, I look just like the Coke Santa. So I figured, why not? I went full bore into it, and I thought, you know, I could probably pass this off pretty good. And as a result, I ended up loaning myself out for parents so that little kids could catch me tiptoeing across the backyard and stuff, so I could go in and entertain them for an hour. Now, being a cartoonist, I was able to draw cartoons and entertain and tell stories. And because of my stand-up background, I have the ability to improv and answer any questions a little kid or a grown-up might have. Well, it's grown and grown. And then when COVID hit, I had built all these relationships with charities and people, families, children, and I didn't know how I was going to get back to them and how I was going to make this all work. So I ended up building a studio in my house in the basement where I have a full Santa setup, and I spend my Christmas months, I guess you'd say, doing live appearances and also working out of my studio doing promos and commercials and stuff for kids and lots of private messages. But I've had some really amazing experiences. You see, when I first started this, I thought I was just going to do it as a lark and make a few bucks, you know. And then one day, I was doing a visit and I got done and my ride was going to be a little while. So I took a walk up the street. As I was walking past the senior home, there was a whole bunch of elderly people getting off the bus. Well, I waved my hand at them and I said, "Ho, ho, ho, I hope you're being good." Well, they all got excited and invited me across the street. And we went into the common room and we're all taking pictures and having a great time. And there was this one little older lady off to the side. She was just sitting and staring at us. And it turns out she had dementia and Alzheimer's and just didn't connect with anyone anymore. But somehow she recognized Santa. And I'm standing there and I've got my arm around all these people and everything. And this little old lady's looking at me and she's got this glaze in her eyes where she's just not connecting. Then all of a sudden her eyes started to clear. She straightened her head up and she looked at me. And all of a sudden her eyes got big and she sat up and she said, "Santa?" And she got up and she shuffled across the floor to me. And I put my arm around her and everybody around me was in tears. And she had actually connected with somebody. Like she knew who I was. So I put my arm over her shoulder and I said, "Oh, by golly, am I ever glad to see you. I haven't seen you since you were about this big." And she cried and I cried and we had this great talk. But I realized when I left, there's no way I could stop doing this now. Like it took me by the heart. So now, since then, I've been a bereavement Santa. So if a little boy or little girl has lost someone, I can be their Santa. I can help them out and give them messages and hope and try to just be a good Santa. I'm also I do live appearances and I've done engagements and birth announcements and all these wonderful things. And at the same time, I have little elves of my own. You see, my elves are only 7 and 10. My oldest is 26. But the way I did this was I told them the same thing I told you guys. Sometimes really lucky daddies get chose to help out Santa. And I got to be one of those guys. So every year since my youngest was 2 years old, I've been dressing up and going out and helping out. And they've helped out. We've done charity work for hospitals and everything else. And it's ended up being this amazing growing experience. And I tell you, it's been pretty fantastic. And I take real pride in being Santa Cav. So that's pretty much my story.
That is a great story. That is a great story. That, boys and girls, you can't see Santa Kev right now, but I can, and he really does look the business. And you're a lot younger than you look as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell everyone your age. You don't. Do you want to say?
That's fine. I'm 50.
But he looks like you said. He looks just like the Coca-Cola Santa Claus. He really does. So you told us how you got into it, and you've been doing it. Was it 5 years?
This is my sixth year. Yes.
This is your sixth year. Yeah. Okay. So I suppose you had a couple of quiet years. The last couple of years. And so you do it for private parties and you do sort of public events and all sorts of things.
I do. I'm in local parades. I've got videos all over the world and stuff. I've got stuff in everywhere from Guantanamo to Australia to the UK. It's been pretty amazing. But I get to do all kinds of private visits where I'll go into a person's home and I'll spend an hour with your kid and make the experience completely real. And when I leave that kid, even if they're starting to lose a bit of the magic, it's really amazing to see it come back. And then I wander off into the darkness and I ho-ho. But I've done things like I'll show up at a sliding party unexpectedly. I'll just throw on my suit and walk up behind a kid, jump on the back of their toboggan and go down the hill. And that's a funny reaction, let me tell you. And then I just hop off and I'll wander away and I'll say, "Oh, have a great night. Merry Christmas." And off over the hill I'll go and I won't even look back. And it's funny because there'll be no interaction other than that. So everybody that's there, their mind is blown for at least a little while, right?
Aye.
So it's a lot of fun.
So did you, through COVID, do a lot of like Zoom stuff then?
I did actually. What I did was private messages. So if somebody had a message they wanted to give to their kid, their family, their coworkers, anything, they would give me the details, like stuff only Santa would know, like, you know, what they got for Christmas last year, name of pets, sisters, whatever, you know, brother, sister, grandma. And then I sit down and I write a script and then I'll film the script and it ends up being about a 2-minute video. But in that, I'll cover, you know, something that they need to work on and something that they need to be praised for. anything they need to deal with, like if they're going through something emotionally, I can address that. You know, I heard you've been having a bit of a problem with math. I'd really like it if you tried just a little bit harder. And don't get so mad at mom. That kind of thing, you know. It's been a lot of fun. I'm really happy that I put the studio in. I work part-time now as a voice actor, and I'm starting to get into that field. And it all scratches that stand-up itch that I used to have, you know, for going and performing. But this has turned into something so much more. Like, it's not in a weird way by any means. I just mean that from September till December, I end up just trying to make Christmas wishes come true or bring back a little magic, just because I guess I'm too young for my own good. I don't know.
You know. So are you busy through September, or is it like September and then it escalates through the last 4 months? And then, so what are you doing the rest of the year then? Are you still, do you still do any Santa stuff for the rest of the year?
Well, actually,
Do you shave your beard?
Last year I didn't. I trimmed it down, but usually when January hits, I just shear it right off and go back
like a fresh shave.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is about 7 months.
Oh okay. Oh wow.
I grow really fast. Yeah. But I try to reset and have a little bit of a normal, slightly more youthful existence, because as it is, like the way I look, I get mistaken for my own kid's grandparent all the time. I get called. And I don't mind it really. And my kids get a kick out of it. They love teasing me about it. But the rest of the year I work as a cartoonist. I still continue on with that. I have a business called Muck Out Productions.
You can plug that if you want to say again.
Sure. It's Muck Out Productions. So like M-U-C-K Out Productions. And I started that years ago to work on my fine motor skills and continued on, and I have clients that I've had for 10 years now that I do all their logo work and things like that for, but I'm more of a cartoonist, but I do everything out of my iPad or my iMac.
So that's self-employed. So you can sort of work around that. So do you do much of that during the lead up to Christmas, or is it all Santa stuff?
Yeah, it all becomes Santa. Like, as soon as I stick my head out of the sand in September to give people a reminder, things start getting booked. So as of right now, all my weekends from mid-November until Christmas are taken up from Thursday till Sunday. And then the rest of the week, I make videos and messages and performances and stuff like that for people. But it gets pretty crazy. But kind of the only real guy in my area. I live in and around a bunch of small towns, and there's a big city close by, but I'm... there's another fellow that's slightly older than I am that's been doing it for years, but it seems to kind of be a lost art in a sense. So I found my niche and I managed to build something out of it. And I've got a really amazing relationship with some kids and families and, you know, charities and things. It's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure. For 2 months, pretty much you're clean shaven. Is that right?
Oh yeah.
And then you just start letting it grow gradually in. And that's just walking down the street, then people must, even if you're on your civvies and your normal clothes, people must.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing my Santa glasses right now for you. Normally I wear normal glasses and stuff, but all I have to do is slide them down the nose and look at the little kid and wink. And it's just like, and they've got an air. I'll look at them and give them a whisper with a finger to my mouth. And I'll do that in a restaurant. And it's been pretty amazing. But it's one of the things about being Santa, though, is once Santa's over, you got to remember to stop winking at kids. You know,
yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Denny's and lean over and look at a kid and give a wink and see their dad looking at you like he's going to beat Santa into the dirt. It's not a great thing sometimes. It was a lesson I learned early. But the last couple of years, I've kind of been keeping the beard a little bit just because it's cold in the winter, and this actually is really warm.
So what about your Christmas? What do you do for Christmas? Christmas Day, are you with the family, or do you still go out?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I work out of the house for maybe a couple hours or maybe 5 hours a night or a day on the weekends and such. And I do that right up until Christmas Eve. But Christmas Eve is for my kids.
So Christmas Eve, you don't even go do Santa Christmas Eve?
No, I go until the 23rd, and then it's just my kids and my family, and we have a regular Christmas and all
that. That's good.
There might be an exception. Like a few years ago here, there was a year or so ago, there was a house fire out this way, and the OPP contacted me and asked me to go and deliver stuff to try to save their Christmas a little bit. And I've done that quite a bit, actually. It's gotten to be a real fulfilling experience, you know. And the way it started, actually, I'll tell you this quickly. A couple of years ago, there was a family at the beginning of December, their house burned down. And they live a town away from us. And they have several kids and the whole bit. They lost everything. And I happen to know the guy from when I was younger a little bit. So I reached out to all my corporate friends that I built a relationship, like Toys R Us and Loblaws and all these different places, stores and shops. And I was able to pull together what I hoped was going to be enough to try to save their Christmas. So I even got the local station in on it, the whole bit. And what was going to happen was we were going to let on that this family had won a lighting display for their new rental house that they'd moved into for Christmas time because they were nominated. And then as they were being presented, Santa was going to pull up in a full sleigh with electronics and clothes and a bunch of stuff that they'd lost to try to save their Christmas. So we were going to make it this huge, beautiful thing to save this family. And a few weeks before Christmas, the dad was killed in a car accident.
Oh, so goodness.
They lost their house and then 2 weeks later lost their dad. So I reached back out to all these people and I said, well, we can't do this the way we were going to do this. So we ended up dividing it and going and helping a whole bunch of families. And then I did a private thing with that family. My Mrs. Claus drove me over and we brought carloads of all kinds of stuff for the kids and had a real nice long private visit. And that was a pretty amazing experience.
Mm.
And because I went in there and these kids, they're broken. And all of a sudden, Santa's really there and playing with them and really talking to them and really listening. So I just kind of kept it going. And now that was 2 years ago when I did that. And now I kind of, for 2 months, I try to make whatever difference I can. Because the rest of the year, I'm just Kev, just some guy that worked in his basement. But for those 3 months with this face, I have a little pull. So I try to use it whatever way I can. You know, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, it's great Christmas magic comes great responsibility. It's changed my life. So it's been really great.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So you just mentioned your wife.
Yes.
Does she dress up?
She does as of 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. That's good.
She doesn't look so much like Mrs. Claus, but she
doesn't have a big white beard.
No, she doesn't. No. But we went and found her this beautiful Mrs. Claus outfit and the whole bit last year. And that stuff is really expensive. Like, it's surprising. My suit is $700.
Oh, wow. That is expensive. Oh,
yeah. To even get it cleaned, it has to be dismantled. They have to take the hair off and wash the hair separate from the rest. Otherwise, everything runs together. And I didn't know that until I became Santa, you know. But so we got her this outfit, and then we started doing parades and stuff together. Mm. And so then my kids got involved, and now they are honorary elves. So they get to get in the parades and be on the float with Santa and wave at everybody. And do fundraising, like their first year helped. Helping me out, we presented something like 125 gifts to the Kingston General Hospital near us, and it was for the kids' ward and stuff. So we went and gave it to the doctors, and in the morning when Christmas morning came, all the kids in all the sick units woke up with presents next to them from Santa. So with no onus on the parents, they were able to relax, and you know, it was just a little something extra. But my girls got to take part in that, so that was. That was a good lesson, I guess.
Oh, the girls. You got two girls, is it?
Yeah. Well, I have a son who's 26.
Yeah, and the younger ones are two girls.
Yeah, 10 and 7.
I see. Do they dress as elves when they come out with you?
Yes.
Do?
They just wear their winter coats and stuff and put on elf hats and bundle up. Yeah. They're just honorary helpers, I guess you'd say. And I made it clear to them that I was just Santa's helper because I didn't want to take Santa from them to give it to other kids. So but when we're in public and everything, if I'm in character or anything like that, they 100% call me Santa. And my little one, since she was 2, calls me Santa Daddy all through Christmas. And she's 7 now. She's about to be 8. She still holds on to that. For 2 months she starts calling me that. So
what do you think? Do you think the oldest one, do you think she knows yet, or do you think
I think she knows, but I think she's doing her best to believe. In the sense, she doesn't want to let go of the magic. And I don't think, because of what I do, she drowns everything else out a bit. Like, she knows that no matter what, we're doing something really good, really fun, and believable, and kind. And our family motto, actually, we say this every morning when I drop them off for school, is be good, be kind, be helpful, and stay weird. so that they can do anything they want in life and not be nervous about it, as long as they're good, kind, helpful, and not afraid to take a chance. Yeah. And they really took that in. And I'm very, very proud of my kids. Very proud. So
that's good. So what do you want to leave us with as Santa Claus? What do you want to just one final thought. What do you want to share with us?
You know what? What I'll address at the end is everything we've learned from the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, things like getting together and school and family dinners and movies and going out to the pub with your friends, that was all just kind of a given. And then it all got taken away. So many of us pulled together. Some of us pulled back, but so many people, I saw things change in communities where people got together and fed each other and supplied food and helped out each other in any way they can. I really don't want us to lose that. And I've really seen people's hearts grow as they realize that this isn't something that we're going to have all the time, every day. So really try to soak it in and enjoy it when you can. Give everything your best. And same thing I tell my girls, be good, be kind, be helpful, and stay weird. Because if you don't, what are the chances you're going to make wishes come true? And, you know, I'm a little weird, so I do my best to make wishes come true.
You're a good man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to just tell everyone where you're based, just in case they need a Santa?
Sure, absolutely. I'm actually in a place called Yarker, Ontario, Canada. Okay. It's a little tiny town just above Kingston. Well, actually a little west of Kingston, Ontario. And yeah, I live out in the country, and my kids, my animals, and my missus, and I work in my basement doing videos and trying to put a smile on some people's face if I can, you know?
Where can people find you?
At Santa Kev Presents. You can find me on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I'm just starting to put more content on. I've actually just been building stuff up in the last little while. So I've got a few little videos and clips and fun little skits and stuff out there. But this year it's going to be growing quite a bit. I'm planning on doing some special interviews about safety at Christmas and all kinds of stuff, drawing with Santa and stories with Santa. And yeah, fun TikTok challenges. I'm going to do the hottest gummy bear eating challenge, the world's hottest gummy bear, which is going to be traumatizing. And I hope I still have a beard when it's done, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Right, so there you go, kids. It's Santa Kev Presents, and he's on all social medias. You shouldn't have any trouble finding him. Thank you so much for being with us today, Santa. I really do appreciate it.
It's been fantastic, Jack. Thank you so much for giving me the chance to talk to you.
Yeah, no problem.
And for all you out there, be good, be kind, and be helpful, because it's all that matters. Because you do that, you're not just changing their life, you're changing yours. And trust me, I know.
A massive thank you to Kev for doing the interview. He'll be popping up again in an episode or two's time with a story he's going to share with us. Yeah, thanks again, Kev. It was a real treat. I had a blinding time chatting to him. Such an interesting guy. And he had such passion for the job. It was really nice to see. The thing is, it made me wish that I had a big white beard and I could be Santa. But sadly, I'm a bit too skinny. No one wants a skinny Santa, do they? I mean, I like to think I'm buff. But I'm not, I'm skinny. Okay, anyway, now it's time for this.
This episode's recommendation is sweets. Sweets are so good because you can get gummy bears and you can get lots of different flavours. You can get pineapple, you can get apple, you can get strawberry, loads of different flavours. You can get big ones, you can get middle-sized ones, and you can get little ones. I like sweets because sometimes there's big chewy ones, and I like big chewy ones. Sweets are like lollipops and other things, and I like lollipops because they're so sweet and you can choose the different flavours. So remember, this episode's recommendation is sweets. That's the end of the episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Please get in touch. The email is totalchristmas@gmail.com. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you and Merry Christmas.
Don't you know a kid always wins against two idiots?